We did examine one-time expenditures that could be supported by one-time revenue source, such as fund balance fund. That's sort of what people often refer to as the rainy day fund. Ongoing operations, an expense that occurs year after year, shouldn't be funded by your rainy day fund. Those should only be used for one-time fund, one-time expenditures. But there were some such expenditures anticipated in this budget, and excess fund balances being used for those. In particular, there are some anticipated severance costs, potential refund of a manufacturing property tax, something the state's done where after a court case is resolved, we may have to refund some money, so we have to have an appropriation for it. There's some unusual building maintenance costs spread between the fire department, police department, and city hall, economic development professional fees in and above an ongoing appropriation built into the budget. There's some defined pension contribution that I'll talk about in a moment. There is a carryover of some senior travel program money that was budgeted this year and it's not anticipated to be used. And we do have $500,000 in restricted contingency that helps preserve a state revenue source for us while positioning us for any emergency needs we might have. And the defined benefit contribution or pension contribution, that's one of the city's three pension funds that it participates in. The annual required contribution is the amount that the city has to pay to it, which includes a component that comes from a cost for prior year's service. It's as pension rules have changed over the last 30 years from when they were first established, municipalities now have to follow current many rules similar to some businesses, and that includes making sure that the pensions they offer are fully funded. By using some excess fund balance and making a significant pay down, we can actually improve our operating expenses and the operating side, effectively eliminating a 7.25% cost while only giving up a 1% interest on the money. So it's definitely a cost-effective strategy that uses fund balance to enhance the operating budget. No matter how many times you practice something, it always goes wrong when you have to do it at the meeting. So I apologize to everyone. Can't tell you why my computer is doing that. We also one thing you will see in the budget and that you will see since 2014 is the city has continually managed the operating department expenses since 2014 in holding operating expenses for the general fund departments very stable or low. So in order to keep taxes down, we've restrained growth in departments. The administration, IS, finance, and auditor have gone down 3% since 2014. Municipal buildings have gone down 13% in that time. The police department has gone down over $31,000 since that time. And when you include a one-time expense that's built into that budget, it's actually a reduction in about $85,000, or 7.5% of their non-personnel operating budget reduced since 2014. And you will find that in each of the operating sections. So the operating budgets have been trimmed back year after year after year in order to help maintain the pattern of freezing taxes for the last few years. And such a pattern is that is simply not sustainable in the long run if you wish to maintain the current operations. I think staff and I have presented during the budget process that the operating level of departments based upon in conjunction with the anticipated amount that needs to be left available in the budget has really reached that critical point where you can't really cut anymore without anticipating departments actually reducing their service level or discontinuing some sort of service or function. And that amount that departments have built into the budget is a reduction of $470,000. So to finish the year balanced, we actually have to have appropriations go unused of nearly $500,000 in the budget. So that's why, that's one of the reasons it's more difficult to cut operating departments anymore. Some other changes that are impacting the budget, the revaluation, the city entered into a new contract this year to revalue properties each of 3 years. It does save money over time, but it does change the appropriation level for this year and switch it from a personnel to a contracted service. There are state shared revenue and state controlled revenue reductions, such as the hotel motel tax, losing about $86,000. The health insurance fund is at its fifth year of being frozen or having reduced rates. That is something that other communities have been unable to do. Our actuary wonders how we're able to pull it off year after year, but we have been very successful in managing and maintaining our health insurance fund and for that purpose. The Wisconsin Retirement System has added costs of about $228,000, which was one of the bigger challenges to be able to fund with very limited increase in property taxes. And there are some personnel changes in the budget. The light equipment operator that was added to last year's budget was not able to continue to be funded, so it was removed from this year's budget. It does anticipate that the labor, the contract, the market adjustment for non-rep employees based upon the new classification compensation study and strategy that was adopted about this time last year. It anticipates an increase of about 2% mid-year next year. It does include a health department coalition coordinator, which is a grant-funded position in cooperation with FAPSU. That is a five-year grant, so that has been built in. And as I said before, it does retain the part-time building inspector. So the tax levy and rate implications, it increases the tax levy just $110,000 compared to $20,509,000. So it's a increase of 0.538% in the levy increase. But with the property valuation, the property tax rate would go down from around $6.25 to $5.71. Very quickly, each of the funds, most of what I've talked about so far has been what's occurred in the general fund, the solid waste fund. There's no user fee rate increase anticipated in the sanitary sewer fund. Most of the retained earnings were invested in the new building. It's expected that there'll be a rate increase of 5%, which covers the MMSD rate increase that's anticipated, and that will come back to council, and that rate change will come back to the council in 2017 after we receive the MMSD rate increase. And it does include the purchase of a $240,000 camera and televising equipment so that the pipes can be properly maintained. The capital outlay fund has expenditures of about $738,000. Departments, this is the fund where departments are buying pieces of equipment that they use for an operating basis. It's not the larger projects like a park project or a street project. But it does include some vehicles and the police squad cars and things like that. Departments requested about $1.2 million in equipment needs. About $738,000 of that were funded. There's usually around $550,000 funded each year, so we did work hard to find some additional money this year using some of the fund balance, applying some additional land signing fees, and by anticipating not buying the video conferencing equipment approved for this year, letting that money fall into the fund balance and reappropriated for more significant and important IT projects. The Equipment Replacement Fund has an ambulance, two building inspection vehicles, and three highway vehicles. That fund does continue to be in a long-term underfunded position. Both that and the Street Improvement Fund in the long term to maintain those funds. Additional funding is necessary. The Street Improvement Fund has about just over $700,000 of tax levy support and about $133,000 of landfill siding. So it funds about $940,000, which is about 3.2 miles of road repair work. The Capital Improvement Fund, which is the fund that's intended for larger development projects, such as some of the projects for in TID 5, which is commonly referred to as the Baseball Commons area. Those development costs are in there based upon the actions the Common Council has anticipated in the documents that created the TID as they've been adjusted and as advised by the Economic Development Director. It also includes the City Hall repairs and remodel. It has a project in for about $1.8 million. The roof and the HVAC, which covers the bulk of that, are pretty much mandatory projects at this point. We've well extended the life of all of those, and the city really has no choice but to make that portion of the project corrections in the coming year. There's also a lot of park projects, about $4.9 million, of which $2.9 are impact fees. There are a significant amount of park projects requested by the Park Commission and submitted to us by staff. The strategy, and as you're aware, early this year, the city passed a resolution that extended the access to park impact fees that were collected in 2006 and around that time. So we've only got about 2 years left to do some of that. What this budget does is it put all of those appropriations in, anticipating that in the next month or two, we would take a detailed look, maybe with the Park Commission, maybe a committee of the whole, and figure out exactly what can move forward. So this creates the appropriations so that the appropriation side doesn't get in the way, and will leave you to be able to talk about all of those projects in context outside of this. You can address them right within the budget here, but you can also try and address them with the Park Commission, with staff, and in the context of bringing the Corp in and look at it more holistically. And that's why we put all of those appropriations in. Because until you take that next step of actually deciding which to do and borrow, it doesn't hurt to have the appropriation anticipated in the budget. It does have the Salt Barn, the West Marquette Avenue extension, some additional emergency vehicle preemption equipment. That's the equipment that lets emergency vehicles control stop and go lights. And there are sewer and water projects in there as well. The development fund, which is the impact fee, basically is just designed to track impact fee usage within the capital projects. And it does anticipate some increased revenues based upon potential construction in TID 5. The debt service fund, the property tax levy support is down $200,000 to $1.3 million, as I've said. And that effectively constitutes the lowest the property tax levy can go without creating a separate levy to fund that debt. Grant funds, it incorporates the coalition grant. And you will note in the council action sheet that staff has requested that you make a $5,000 modification to that to reflect a new grant that the police department just received notice of in the last few weeks for safety vests. Since it doesn't affect property taxes and it's in the grant fund, we request the documents that you do it. The library fund did receive about, do have expenses going up about 1.5%, and they have about 0.75% additional, about $9,600 additional property tax levy. This will be the third year that it will reflect a loss of fund balance, about $60,000 if everything occurs as it's budgeted. So that is a issue the library board will need to address in coming years, because that is not sustainable when they have a fund balance of about $300,000. So in conclusion, the proposed 2015 budget, it's creative in finding funding and methods to maintain the current operations, for example, by buying down the pension fees, where he talked about realigning the uses for the landfill siting fees, using one-time appropriate use of fund balance. I went through those. the historical debt strategy with the debt service levy transfer, reprioritization, where we've reprogrammed video conferencing equipment funds. The other steps that it did not do, it did not incorporate any of the prior year tax levy. It is possible for a community to, when it foregoes property tax levy in a year, to then levy for that in a future year. Right now, you can go back 2 years, provided you're not taking any debt out in that year, which we are. But since last year, the Common Council didn't use that, we've continued to follow that. I won't rehash some of that other conclusion. This is a balanced budget in the sense that it maintains existing services with appropriate use of resources and fund balance. But in recent years, as I've said, the city's unilaterally implemented even stricter controls than the state has had, and has only levied additional municipal property tax increases of $42,000. And that's out of an allowable over $800,000. So of the taxes where other cities are struggling to stay within that limit, in the last 4 years, we've only used 5.2% of the allowable growth in property taxes that the state limits have allowed. But most of the strategies we've used to do that, as I went through this, have been used up. So it will be tougher to do. Although the city's worked very hard to be able to do that, there is a word of caution in that. Simply maintaining current operations in the Forest Services after 2017 may exceed the ability of the city to fund or otherwise absorb that gradual natural cost increase without evaluating the willingness to fund those services through property tax levy, including potentially having to go back to those other ones. And with that, we are at the last stage of the budget calendar for the year. The first step in the formal calendar was when the budget was presented to the Committee of the Whole September 20th. Staff actually started with developing numbers and personnel requests back in June. And tonight, this was the public hearing, and it's on your agenda for approval.
This is a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing. Is there any member of the public who has questions or would like to speak on the annual budget? Mr. Petrenka, please give us your name and address again.
Cancer Matraga, 4034 West Anthony Drive. I do agree with what you have shown so far, okay? The only thing that I don't see it is, are you going to cover all those expenditure? Where are you going to get the money beside the tax that we're going to pay? It's easy to say, this is what we're trying to do, but you're not telling me where are you going to get the money. That is what I am interested. I will appreciate it if I can get an answer.
Mr. Liberta, we're back on the revenue side.
The city has a lot of other... Paul, do you want to join us as we get into discussion since the budget comes up? This is Paul Rotzenberg, our finance director, who is heavily involved in the budget development. I'll start first with the general fund. Property taxes are about $16.5 million of the total property taxes collected go to the general fund. That's the core operations. The total general fund revenue is around $24 million. So the other $8 million comes from everything from we get a utility tax equivalent, which are other intergovernmental revenues that we get, to all of the licenses that we sell, liquor licenses, dog licenses, is $145,000. Building permits and electrical permits and other permits that we issue generate about $1 million in revenue. We also have charges for services, so like the ambulance fee. Those generate about all the other different charges for services are just over $1.5 million. So all in told, the general fund, which has about $16 million of the property tax levy, that fund uses $24 million. So the other $8 million comes from these other kinds of sources, which are all itemized in great detail in the budget.
Mr. Matringa.
Get documentation of what you just presented us?
It's on the website.
Yes, the presentation is on the website. This document is on our website, and a copy is available at the library and at the front desk of the clerk.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Anyone else wishing to speak on the budget? Anybody else? All right, see no one else rising. I will close the public hearing. We're going to move to the agenda item, right, for action. We'll move on to, without objection, we'll move on to item G2, the mayor's recommended budget. Mr. Roberta.
The item is in your packet. Staff has suggested three minor changes and provided a form to the motion. The minor changes, one you heard me mention during the public hearing, which was incorporating a $5,000 grant. At the last meeting, you also approved Civic Celebration's expenditure request that they made, and that requires increasing their appropriation by $4,500. The revenue is already sufficient to cover that. And then in the capital outlay fund, because of an opportunity that presented itself, you authorized approval using contingency fund to buy a new street sweeper for $42,000, and that was budgeted for next year. So this just pulls that item out of the expenditure list for next year. So the motion would be as presented on the council action sheet, unless there are any further changes, which could then just be added right into the form of the motion. And we're happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Alderman Taylor.
Okay, Your Honor, I'm going to make the motion that's listed above.
For some reason, this mic isn't working. It's like if I'm not pushing down.
There's a switch underneath.
So we'll have to get that fixed, but my phone's heavy enough.
It's on the bottom.
Oh, all right. Well, this works for now. So I'll make a motion as listed above, and then I have an amendment to add to it. I think there's a couple of amendments before us.
So the motion is to adopt Ordinance 2016, whatever it's going to be, an ordinance adopting 2017 annual budgets for the general civic celebrations, St. Martin's Fair, donations, grants, solid waste collection, sewer, sanitary sewer, capital outlay, equipment replacement, street improvement, capital improvement, debt service, development, utility development, TID 3, TID 4, TID 5, and internal service funds, and establish tax levy and other revenue for the city of Franklin for fiscal 2017 as presented. There will be more adjustments, but for the purposes of the beginning motion,
right,
under the grants fund, increase the revenue of the police fund $5,000, increase under the grants fund expenditures under the police of $5,000 for the purpose of incorporating Civic Celebrations 2017 spending authority as approved November 1st 2016. The Civic Celebration fund expenditures is increased by $4,500. For those going with us at home, there's revenues already in the budget to cover that. And for the purpose of eliminating a used street sweeper recently authorized for purchase in 2016, capital outlay fund expenditures would be reduced by $42,000.
So that's my motion.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. And then I'm going to make an amendment, so I got to do that.
Is this the easiest way to do this?
Okay, right. Then there's also, I think, two other amendments, too, so I'm going to. We have to vote on the amendments first, right? What?
You could make this right with your initial motion, and then anything anyone wanted to add.
All right. Okay. So then, all right. That's fine. So then, with my motion, I'm also adding another line, and you guys have it on your desk. It's titled "Colleagues," but I didn't sign my name on the bottom or anything. It says, "For the purpose of eliminating any increase in total municipal property tax revenues, basically, we'd be from the general fund. We would be reducing $110,500 and increasing the landfill siting revenue." In the general fund by $110,500, and then in the capital improvement fund, we'd be reducing the landfill siting revenue by $110,500, and proceeds from borrowing, we'd borrow an extra $100,000. So that would result in a zero levy increase for the city and the taxpayers, and we would still proceed as business as usual, and we'd be borrowing $100,000 more to do any capital projects. So that would be.
Is there a second to the amendment?
I'll make the second, but I do have an addition to that.
Well, you'll have another amendment then.
Right.
Okay. So the motion has been made and seconded for the amendment as presented by Alderman Taylor. Any other discussion of that amendment? On the amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No.
Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Motion carries, 5 ayes, 1 no, no absent, no abstentions. Any other action, Alderman Wilhelm?
My motion is very similar to the one that was just passed. It goes a step further by reducing the borrowing, but and it removes the mini park in a location that was met with opposition. It removes just enough of the capital project funds to freeze the taxes, avoids the additional borrowing, still allowing a portion of the impact fees available. So that one is in front of you with the one that I passed out.
So the reality of this one would be that it would reduce the levy yet another 110.
Actually, no, it would.
Capital improvement fund issue.
The idea is still the same. The siting fees, I think, is the exact same idea that Alderman Taylor had with the landfill siting fees reducing and increasing. That portion doesn't change. The addition to it is in the capital improvement fund where we decreased the mini park that was not needed, and then that would then decrease the need for the landfill siting fees, which would still leave a portion of park fees, but it would reduce the need to borrow. So it does everything that Alderman Taylor's does, except with that reduction in Mini Park 5, we don't need to add any extra borrowing.
So, if I may help you. So the Alderwoman's motion is to add, to make an amendment to adjust the capital improvement fund by reducing landfill siting fees by $110,500, to decrease Parks expenditure for Mini Park number 5, a total of $259,210, and to decrease the park impact fees by $111,460. Mr. Rotzenberg, is that correct?
Mr. Mayor, as I understand the motion that Alderman Wilhelm is proposing, from the initial approved amendment, the landfill siting fees in the capital improvement fund were already decreased by the $110,500. So Alderman Wilhelm would not, I believe, propose to further reduce those, but to just leave that portion there. But then I believe the motion is to remove the increase in the debt funding. So that $100,000 would be gone, but instead reduce the park expenditures by $259,210 and reduce the impact fee revenues by $111,460. So those two items replace the debt increase.
All right. So
that's correct.
So in a very short sentence, restate what Alderwoman Wilhelm's intent and motion should be for an amendment.
I believe if Alderman, if I may?
You said it right the first time, so yes, go ahead.
Alderman Wilhelm would then be moving to remove the $100,000 increase in debt borrowings in the capital improvement fund and decrease park expenditures for Mini Park number 5 by $259,210 and remove the impact fee revenue of $111,460 that related to that park item.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.